God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message called Growing Together in Faith. The Encouraging Word. Every single day, it's our prayer that we're not staying the same, but instead we are growing. And growing together in faith is the message from Dr. Wilton today that will help us dive into Acts chapter 4 and see how God's word fuels that growth. As we study the Word, know that we're here for you, connecting on our website at tewonline.org, that's tewonline.org, as well as on the phone at 866-899-WORD. That's 24 hours a day. As Dr. Don would say, we all need some 2 a.m. friends, and you'll find someone to pray with you anytime at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And now today's teaching with Dr. Don Wilton. The Encouraging
Word. Growing together in faith. And we need to be asking the Lord, what is it exactly that He expects of us this year? Wonder if you've taken time to try to draw up some kind of list. Maybe in your family, maybe at college, your business. Try to project somewhat of what is required, what your expectations, your goals are, what you need to accomplish. I want to encourage you to do that if you haven't done it. My wife and I still need to do that. Get out a pen and paper and sit down and say, well, these are the things that we need to accomplish personally and privately and corporately as a family. And that's a good thing, to be purpose-driven, to know where you're going and how you're going to get there, and to have specific goals in life. Well, it's very important for us as a congregation, and more specifically for us as God's people. So our subject today is growing together in faith. Now, where do you find out what it is that God wants you to do? The Bible makes a statement that without a vision, God's people will perish. And I submit to you today, ladies and gentlemen, that if those of us who are believers, and if I could be very specific concerning First Baptist Church, that if we determine that we no longer need to trust God and we no longer need to put into play the vision that God gives to us, I'm going to submit to you that it's not going to be too long before we die, before this church shrivels up, before we no longer see people coming to know Jesus Christ. So we're going to go to God's textbook. We're going to go to the book of Acts, the institution of the New Testament church, and I invite you to turn there with me to Acts chapter 4, the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. And I'm going to just simply read a few verses, but we're going to be drawing our nourishment from throughout the fabric of the institution of the New Testament church. Now, let me just simply say to you as your pastor that one of the things that I was tempted to do was to give you my list. Kind of like we do with Santa, boys and girls, you know, you make out a list and you say, this is what I'd like for Christmas, if he would be so kind as to consider me. And I would, in a sense, I'd love to give you my list, but my list, I'm afraid, just will miss the mark because it'll be too full of Don Wilton. I have a habit of getting in the way of God, and I don't want to do that. In fact, this has nothing to do with Don Wilton, has nothing to do with First Baptist Church. It has everything to do with what the Lord would have of us. Our primary mandate is to know and to do the will of God. What does God expect of us in this next year? We're going to find something with great joy. We're going to discover that these principles that I'm going to share with you are foundations, because people that have long gone on to be with the Lord Jesus from within this congregation have established these principles. And you and I today, we stand upon those. But we must ask the Lord what it is that He would have us to accomplish for Him this coming week, this coming year, and you might be able to apply many of these principles in your own life. I want to read to you just to set us in the right direction from Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 31. Let me warn you, I'm going to stop a number of times. as I read to you this passage. Verse 31, after they prayed. Let's stop there just for a second. See, I'm not going to preach on prayer this morning, so I have to stop there. Because some of you are going to say, well, now, wait a minute, Pastor, isn't prayer the absolute foundation? And I'm going to tell you it is. Without prayer, none of this is going to work. In fact, one of my personal goals this year is concerning the matter of prayer, my own personal prayer life, my devotional life, my family prayer life, and the manner with which I lead our church in prayer. And it's interesting for me to notice here in Acts chapter 4 that what is about to happen happened in response to their prayer. It happened after they prayed. All right, watch what happened. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting in our instant First Baptist Church in downtown Spartanburg was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God boldly. Friends, we're living in a world today where the clarion trumpet call is that people no longer proclaim the word of God with boldness. People tell us it's not necessary to have convictions concerning the unsearchable riches of God in Christ Jesus. So look what happened in response to this, verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. What a beautiful expression. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but rather they shared everything they had. Here's another suggestion. How about this year at First Baptist Church? If we make a commitment to God that not a single thing that we have belongs to us. Nothing. Not personally, not corporately in worship. That everything that we have belongs to God. Now we're going to establish some principles here. I'm going to show you something, folks. This is remarkable. Because God has the highest expectation of all. He is sovereign in all things. He is creator. He is the sustainer of the world. Everything that we have, whether it be personally or corporately, God gave to us. If we're going to grow together in faith, we've got to establish or reestablish some of these very important principles. Look what happened in verse 33. With great power. That word, their power, is dynamite, dunamis, with great spiritual explosiveness. The apostles continued as a result to testify concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and much grace was upon them all. Dear friends, I want you to know that amongst many other prayers in your pastor's heart, I pray that God's grace would be upon you. For those of you that are in college studying, I pray that God's grace would be upon you this year. For those who are parents, that God's grace would be upon you. For those who are in the marketplace, that God's grace would be upon you. What a wonderful prayer. Folks, we need to move and or beyond just simply praying for the sick. God tells us here that we need to go to a spiritual depth. If we are to grow together in faith, can you imagine a group of people who pray that the grace of God would be upon their fellow believers? Now look what happened as a result in verse 34. As a result, there were no needy persons among them. Could we pray this year? And we're going to make it our business that no needy persons are among us? Now, how's that going to happen? How do you do something like that? What's the methodology? What is the requirement that God sets before us? For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Could I venture to make a suggestion? Is there anybody here this morning, anyone worshiping by way of television, who would be prepared to sell your house, Bring all the money you make and give it to the Lord's work at First Baptist Church. I'm going to ask you to do that. Is there anybody listening to God today that instead of buying a new motor car this year, that you would buy one, use the proceeds, sell it, and give it to the Lord's work? Is there anyone who has a piece of land, would you give that to the Lord's work? I don't know any details, but I've been told even this year there have been people in our congregation who have given assets, left the church in its will, have sold property, have done all kinds of things, stocks and bonds, and have said, I want God to have this. You're going to say to me, Pastor, what is this, about fundraising? Nope. It's not about equal giving, it's about equal sacrifice. Some people have got a house to sell. Other people just have $2. Bottom line is, God wants everything we've got. What are you prepared to do for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are there perhaps a group of Christians somewhere in this world that are going to stand up and be counted for the Lord Jesus? Is there somebody here today who's willing to stand up and say, there's not a single thing that I have in my hand that belongs to me? I'm going to give him everything I've got. You see, my friends, if we come to grips with what God has to say, he'll shake us at the very foundation of our being. So what do we learn here about a growing church? I'm going to share with you 8 marks of a growing church according to the scriptures as we contemplate the year 2004. As we grow together in faith. Let me just advise you today, there are probably at least 50 or 100 of them, but I decided to limit our discussion today to about 8. I've already shared some others with you as it is. All right, what does God expect of us in this year? Number one, a growing church, number one, comes to grips with repentance. A growing church, if we are to be obedient to the heavenly vision and we are to grow together in faith, God's word says that we must come to grips with repentance. Now, I'm going to show you something very interesting. Go to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Marvelous passage here. This is what the Bible says. Repent then and turn to God in order that your sins may be wiped out, so that as a result of that, times of refreshing may come upon you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we talk about making New Year's resolutions. I think we can all identify with these things. I wouldn't be surprised if there are several of us today worshiping the Lord, that we would say, if the truth were known, we just simply want to be refreshed. Lord, I want to see this life in a new light. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm tired of these old clothes. I need to be recharged, re-energized. I want my eyes to be opened. I want to become somebody who's new. I want to have a bounce in my walk. I want to have a glint in my eye. I want to be somebody who walks around with a fresh vibrancy from the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps in our church life, we get so accustomed to doing things the same way at the same time without number. And God says, listen, my people, I want to pour out a refreshing upon you. I want to pray this year that God would refresh our hearts.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of today's message, Growing Together in Faith, by Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But Dr. Wilton insists we interrupt to remind you we are here for you, connecting keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org, but also on the phone at 866-899-WORD. It's Dr. Don's prayer that everyone has a 2 a.m. friend, someone you can call and pray with at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and we are here for you at 866 1-800-899-9673. And not just to pray for you, but also to connect with resources that will help you grow and stand strong in your faith. Right now, there's so much excitement about this Chuck Colson, My Final Word book, and Dr. Wilton's message on the final authority. Both are available on our website as a package right now at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And literally, taking the passion of the headlines today, these two resources will give you some insight from God's Word to help you stand strong in your faith and be the witness that God's calling each of us to be. Again, the details are at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now back to today's great teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
Well, how's that going to be accomplished? We got to come to grips with repentance. What is repentance? Repentance means to turn. Turn from self, from sin, and turn toward Christ and the cross. So here's what happens. It's a double action in repentance according to the Scriptures. God tells us that in order to be saved, we need to repent of our sin. You cannot be saved unless you repent. It means that I need to turn away from myself. Why? Because Don Wilton is a sinner. I'm going to get in the way of everything that God does because He is holy and righteous. I need to turn away from myself, from my sin, and I need to turn toward Jesus Christ and the cross. But not only in terms of my salvation, but in terms of the living out of my salvation as a Christian man, because I'm a sinner by nature and I'm a sinner by choice. That's why the apostle said in 1 John chapter 1, he said, if we confess our sin, that word there, confess, means that if we're willing to recognize and acknowledge and repent our sin and turn away from our sin and put our sin back where it needs to be, that is right there at the foot of the cross. Jesus Christ will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And by the way, that word to cleanse there is the same word to refresh. Means brand new. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've done something. You have scars in your life. I've got good news for you today. Folks, the Bible says if we are to grow together in faith, as a church, as an individual, we need to come to grips with repentance. Number two, write this down. A growing church declares that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Now you can have a look at this. I didn't say this. Look at chapter 4 and verse 12. Let's go to chapter 4 and verse 12. Remarkable statement here in the Scriptures. Bible says that salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. What is God telling us? He's giving us the key to everything that pertains to our well-being now in this life and in terms of eternal life, to our growth in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. God mandates clearly that we must declare that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. This past week, my wife and I took our Australian friends up to the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove, one of my favorite places in all the world. I want to tell you, friends, if you have not been to the Cove, you need to go. They have seminars going right throughout the year. The staff there are just wonderful. It's a place where God is. I'm just telling you, it is wonderful. In fact, I'm doing a seminar this year on the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ in September. You might want to come and be a part of that seminar as I teach up at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove. But I'm going to tell you this, what happened. We went down into where the bookstore is, and all the memorabilia of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, all the crusades and gifts and things, it's a wonderful thing to have a look at all of that, and it just inspires my heart. But there was one thing that caught my attention this time. Many of the things that Dr. Graham has been given in gratitude for his life and ministry are on display there. But there was one thing that caught my attention. a religious group, a large religious group, wonderful people, not Christian religious group, gave Mr. Graham a top award many, many years ago. And it's up there for display. And alongside of it is the acceptance speech that Dr. Billy Graham gave when these people were so kind as to present him with this lovely gift. This is what he said. He said, I want to thank you, I'm summarizing, said, I want to thank you with all of my heart for this wonderful gesture, this gracious gift that you give me from your religious organization. And I accept it with much gratitude, understanding one thing, and that is that I know that you, this is another religious group, that you would never expect me to compromise on the fact of my conviction that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that Jesus Christ is the only way to God the Father. I'll tell you, when I came away from the Cove this week, I believe that I went up there just to be inspired by those words because I was brought back to the central issue pertaining to the faith of our fathers. And that is simply this, that salvation is found in no one else but in Jesus Christ. Now, folks, that's not popular today. Did you know that? Universalism is gripping the hearts of people in America. There are pulpits, even in the evangelical church today, who are saying things like this, that yes, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Yes, Jesus Christ died, but it doesn't matter what you believe. God loves everybody. And as long as you're sincere, it doesn't matter. God will accept everybody. I want to tell you something, my friend, that the key to growing together in faith is that we continue to be a people that make no apology concerning the declaration that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that He is the only way to the Father. Would somebody say amen this morning? What a Savior. Jesus Christ died for you and for me. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not die, but shall have eternal life. So what about a growing church? Comes to grips with repentance, whereby we are refreshed in our hearts, declares that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Number three, a growing church understands the reality of spiritual warfare. Now, friends, you need to fasten your seatbelts, and I want you to listen very carefully today. Chapter 4 and verse 12. Chapter 4 and verse 21, I beg your pardon. Chapter 4 and verse 21, as what the word says, after further threats, they let them go. That is, they let the preachers and the people of God go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. What happened? God had acted. The man was miraculously healed. We know the story about the lame man, the beggar, that was brought right there into the presence of these men of God, and they said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says immediately strength came into his feet and ankle bones, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. Well, friends, right in the aftermath of all of this, Satan reared his head. May I say this with all the love in my heart as we continue to grow? Watch out. Satan doesn't like it.
Indeed, Satan doesn't like it. But here's the good news. You have the power within you to conquer Satan. Philippians 1:6 reminds us, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun the good work in you, He will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. The question is, have you allowed Jesus to begin that good work in you? If you'd like to talk with someone, our 866-899-WORD number will connect you with teams of us that would love to pray with you and talk you through any of your questions you might have. 866-899-9673. But again, that powerful scripture of confidence in the work that God is going to do in us starts with a single decision. You've heard Dr. Wilton as he's been teaching and preaching from the pulpit. Now open your heart to what he wants to share next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Perhaps you were praying along with Dr. Wilton moments ago to give your life to Jesus Christ, or perhaps rededicate your life to Christ. You need to know that we are not only rejoicing with the angels in heaven about your decision, but we are rejoicing at the opportunity to see you grow beyond that decision and deepen your faith. Dr. Wilton has prepared some wonderful free resources for you. If you'll call and let us know about your decision, we'll send those out right away. Our number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or you can email Dr. Don. Every single day we receive thousands of emails, and we get those collated and put together for Dr. Wilton to pray over. If you would like to email, it's simply Don, D-O-N, at TEWonline.org. And of course, Dr. Don does the praying. Well, actually, we all do the praying, but Dr. Don especially prays. But he makes sure that we will get those resources to you as well if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. So email us, Don, D-O-N, at TEWonline.org, or call the number right now, 866-899-9673. And before we get away, we have a wonderful, unique bonus offer this month. Here are the details.
This month, as a special bonus offer, you can purchase Saturdays with Billy as a brand new 4CD audiobook. This audiobook is narrated by Dr. Don Wilton and would be a great gift. It would also be great to listen to in the car. You will enjoy hearing about the beautiful friendship between Billy Graham and his friend and pastor, Don Wilton. Along with the audiobook, we are offering a DVD collection of Billy Graham Crusades, A Gathering of Souls. This documentary gives the history of the Crusades from the first event in 1949 to the remarkable events behind the Iron Curtain and in the Far East. You are sure to enjoy watching this collection of timeless Crusades. Please visit TEWonline.com or call 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 to order.
It's a powerful book, whether you read it or have it read to you. That's Saturdays with Billy by Dr. Don Wilton. And though it's his book, he receives none of the resources. If you buy that book, all of that money goes to the mission of sharing the love of Jesus Christ through the Daily Encouraging Word broadcast every single day. Dr. Wilton takes no salary and takes no money from the book sales. It's all for ministry. So consider giving and investing in the books today. You'll find the details at TEWonline.org.